This is Robert Stewart speaking from Manila. Last night, this correspondent had the first private interview with General Tokuyama Yamashita, whose trial outcome, the end of this next week, will set many new precedents in international law regarding the laws of land warfare and the trials of war criminals to come. One of the first things the general seemed very anxious to clear up was his side of the story on the way he supposedly acquired the title of the Tiger of Malaya. And this is what he told me, and I quote, "I have heard many times that I told General Percival of the British Army that he would surrender and answer yes or no, but actually that was not the case. As a matter of fact, it was very surprising to me that Percival surrendered at all, as I really did not expect it. During the battle for Singapore, the British forces numbered more than 100,000, and I had only some 40 to 50,000 men," unquote. I asked the Japanese general if it were true that he actually bluffed his way onto the island of Singapore. However, there is no such word in the Japanese language, and the interpreter finally had to resort to the demonstration of playing poker and bluffing on your hand to get across the point. The general laughed and said that he was very bad at poker, and he did not bluff on the Battle of Singapore. He continued, I quote again, "It was by sheer luck that my entire forces were not annihilated at Singapore when we attempted to cross the Johor Strait. For the British could have annihilated us. I have wondered to this day why they failed to blow us a mile toward the heavens. The British had the guns very heavily fortified, and all of the guns on the island were used as coastal defenses and could swing all the way around in a 360-degree arc, which many of them did. However, it did not seem that all the guns by the British were brought into play. And by means of fake landings, I was able to bring enough men across the strait to form what you Americans call a beachhead. Not once during the actual fighting for the crossing was I able to bring up any heavy artillery, and once on the other side, there was not even hope of heavy gun support. I expected the British guns to wipe us out to the last man, but they never did. We fought over most of the island in terrain fighting with small arms and with mortar. The fight for the mountain or hill sloping into the town was hard. The British were hard fighters and fine fighters. I think that I outsmarted them only by luck. I thought for a while that General Percival would declare Singapore an open city, but he never did. As soon as my forces reached the limits to the metropolis, I ordered a halt. It was at this time that I sent an aircraft over to the city and dropped a note to Percival asking him if he would surrender now. Because if he did not surrender, it would mean that there would be many unarmed and non-combatant helpless civilians killed and wounded due to the fighting on both sides. I also asked him to come over immediately and talk over terms. He came to my headquarters at the appointed time, and the interpreter standing at the long end of my table in the headquarters had a hard time understanding what I was talking about and what Percival was talking about. The interpreter could not get things straight in his mind, so I waved my hands, pounded on the table, trying to get the interpreter, not Percival, to understand what I was trying to ask, and for him to ask Percival to answer yes or no, had he come in relation to the term. In my attempt to straighten out the interpreter, Percival had the understanding that I was pounding my fist at him. Consequently, I have been known from that time on as the Tiger of Malaya. Due to a great friction between Tojo and Yamashita, it happened that Yamashita was not allowed to return to Tokyo for the imperial audience with the emperor, and even though the people of Japan had acclaimed him as a national hero, he was ordered by Tojo to a small outpost in Manchukuo, where he spent most of the time, as he says, into the sticks. On his way to the Philippines in 1944, he was allowed to visit Tokyo for 4 days. I asked him what he thought of the Americans when he first saw them, and he said, "When I first saw the American soldiers, I said that I liked them because they were carefree and clean-cut, and most amazing of all, they never seemed to grow old. I can assure you, young man," he said, "of one thing, that it is very much easier to fight a battle when you are on the offensive than it is when you are fighting on the defensive. It is a terrible feeling to have your positions, your men, and your equipment falling to pieces around you. I know now what the British must have felt like when they were on the defensive in Singapore. When I left last night," he said that he had listened to the newscast from the United States and he had believed them. Then he took a piece of paper and wrote down his favorite proverb, which was, "Sincerity reaches directly to heaven." This is Robert Stewart speaking from Manila. I return you now to the Mutual Broadcasting System in the United States.